Acts chapter 1, and we'll finish out this chapter tonight. And the title of the message tonight is Judas Iscariot, Matthias, and Paul. Judas Iscariot, Matthias, and Paul. We'll begin here in verse 15. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. I want to go through this tonight sort of a little at a time. And so I want to ask a few questions as we go. And look at this a little bit as we go. And I ask you to pray for me tonight. I sincerely ask you to pray for me. This is on my heart, and I've probably given this message more thought over the past 3 to 4 weeks than I have of any message I've preached to you, without a doubt, and prayed more over this message, because it's a serious thing, and it's not something to be taken lightly. Peter said here, Judas was numbered with us, and he obtained part of this ministry. Who numbered Judas Iscariot with the other apostles? The Lord Jesus Christ personally called all 12 of these apostles. Luke 6:13 says, when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12. Whom also he named apostles. He gave them the name apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. The Lord Jesus Christ personally chose all 12 of these men. And they all had this in common. Christ delegated them personally and named them his apostles. He delegates and he sends by his authority these 12. There in Acts 1:2. It says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. They all filled the office of apostle, all of them. But did the Lord Jesus number? Did he count them all as his true apostles? Now I know that they're called the 12, and I know that Scripture tells us he chose 12. But did he count them all as his apostles? Men looked at them and thought, there's 12. But what did the Lord count? How many did the Lord count? Christ called Judas to the office of apostle, but Judas was not truly chosen before the foundation of the world. He wasn't an elect child of God. He filled the office, and he was chosen. In Scripture, a faithful messenger is called an angel. Christ called Judas a devil. Lord Jesus Christ called him a devil. John 6:70, Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. In John 13:18, he had just said, the Lord's not greater than his master. If they've persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Was he speaking to all of them? They all heard him speaking, all 12, but was he speaking spiritually in the heart to all of them? He said in John 13:18, I speak not of you all. The next verse after that, he said, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. When John was shown heavenly Jerusalem, over in Revelation 21:10, he wrote this. He said, he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. This is Revelation 21:10. In verse 11, he says, having the glory of God, this heavenly Jerusalem, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates. And at the gates, 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. We know who they are, don't we? And on the east there was 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates. That's 4 times 3, that's 12. 12 gates, 12 tribes of Israel. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. 12 apostles. Revelation 12:1 says, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Picture of the church. And there was on her head 12 stars. A picture of the apostles. In Matthew 19:28, Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. We know, at least I hope we know, that Judas Iscariot is not numbered among those 12. He's not one of those 12. So who are those 12 apostles of the Lamb that make up the foundation? If we read the last verse here, the first chapter of Acts, they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So we would say, it's Matthias. It's Matthias. He's the 12th. But there is the way that man sees things, and there's the way God sees things. Now let me go over what I just covered with you. I just asked this question, who numbered the apostles originally? The Lord Jesus Christ did. He said, I know whom I've chosen. To man's eye, there appeared to be 12 apostles. The Lord said, I know whom I've chosen. I just showed you that the 12 were called, but only 11 were truly his apostles. One of them was chosen that he might betray him and fulfill the scriptures. But to the eyes of the apostles, they thought all 12 were chosen. They numbered all 12 as true apostles. How many did Christ number? As true apostles, as his true chosen messengers. 11. So when it says in this last verse, they were numbered with the 12. Who numbered them? Who counted Matthias as an apostle? That's my question for you tonight. And my answer for you, I believe we have to be honest, is Peter and the 120 disciples that were with him counted Matthias as an apostle. They gave forth their lots, verse 26 says, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. We'll read as we go on in Acts. It talks about over here just in a little while. In chapter 2 it says, Peter stood up and with the 11. All the commentators, brethren, listen to me. When I say I looked into this, I'm telling you, I listened to messages from about three different denominations on everything I could find on this. I read everybody I could read on it. Brethren, I grew up under and men of old. And I just had to ask God, Lord, you tell me. You have to give me this message because they don't agree. They don't agree. There's the way man sees things, and there's the way that God sees things. Now, if we don't learn something from this, it's irrelevant. It's just a point of argument. And that's not what I'm getting. I don't want to set up a point of argument. I want us to learn something from this. Okay? Here's my proposal to you. If Christ Jesus, our King, called Judas Iscariot to be an apostle, though Judas only filled the office and was not truly chosen. There's many called, but few chosen. He wasn't chosen. He wasn't a faithful angel of the Lord. Could it be that our Lord and our King allowed Peter to stand up and to say what he said, and these fellows being from a good motive, a true, faithful, heartfelt motive, desiring to honor and glorify God, choose Matthias, and him be called, as we go through Scripture, the 12, numbered with the 12, yet be only numbered by men, but not truly be the 12th apostle that Christ had called, that he had chosen to be his apostle. Let's consider Peter's sincere desire to honor God. I believe Peter was sincere. I really do. Now let's look at this together. And I've asked you to pray with me on this, and I've asked you to look at this sincerely with me. Verse 16. First thing I want you to see is Scripture is God's Word. And that's what we go by. God, our Savior, teaches and commands His church through His Word. And that's where Peter starts. Verse 16. He said, this Scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ, God our Savior, being the sovereign God of glory, declared by the mouth of the prophets, gave them the words to write. And he told them all that he would accomplish. And they wrote it down. Years and years and years before he ever even came to this earth. And they wrote it down. And he even chose who his betrayer would be. He chose who his betrayer would be. He chose Judas. He knew who he would be. When he called him to be an apostle, he knew this is the one that's going to betray me. And then our sovereign King came to this earth and he fulfilled all that he determined before to be done. Everything that was written of him in the prophets, the scriptures, the psalms, he fulfilled them all. And Christ numbered Judas Iscariot and treated him as though he were one of his true apostles for one reason, that the scripture might be fulfilled. the word that Peter refers to here, Psalm 41:9. Let me read it to you. You can turn there if you can get to it quickly. I'm gonna go here kind of quickly. He says, "Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." That was written by David, by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. That's what Peter just said. This scripture was fulfilled which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake. Sometimes you'll hear me when I'm reading scripture and I don't say Paul said it. Sometimes I say the Holy Spirit says here, because it's the Spirit of God that's teaching us here. He's doing it through men. When the Lord was on this earth, he said, John 17:12, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I've kept. None of them's lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." Man would not even be able to glory in the betrayal of Christ. Sinful man could not even glory in the fact that we betrayed Christ. He chose whom his betrayer would be. And then next, Peter declares the solemn end of all who deny the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives a description of his beloved friend Judas, whom he trusted, and he says this, "Just as it was prophesied, just as the Lord Jesus Christ said he would, Judas Iscariot betrayed the Lord of glory and died and went to hell." Verse 18. "Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out, and it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Alsadama, that is to say, the field of blood." Most writers say this was a parenthesis put in by Luke as he wrote this. It may be the case. I don't know. Either way, it's the Spirit of God speaking. Iniquity is denying, it's betraying the Lord Jesus Christ. And the purchase that we purchase by doing that is a field of blood. It's separation from God. And then next, Peter rightly divides the word of truth that another must take Judas Iscariot's place. Verse 20. He says, "For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein." Just a word on this. I don't really didn't put any notes down on this, but everybody I read referred this to a house that Judas inhabited as his habitation. What's the one thing men love more than anything? What is it that sinners who deny Christ, what is it that they love more than anything else that causes, the chief cause that causes men to deny Christ? It's his flesh. That's our habitation. What would be the greatest thing God could deny a sinner who denied Christ and went to hell? What would be the greatest thing he could deny him? The lust of his flesh. His own flesh. Let his habitation be desolate. Believer's body is going to be raised again, a glorified body. Their soul's going to inhabit their body. Well, he said, let his habitation be desolate. And then he said, in his bishopric, his charge, his office, let another take. Just as the sovereign Lord of glory chose who would betray him, he also chose who would fill this vacant office. God's not out of control here. He's gone, but he ain't out of control here. He's ruling. He's king. He chose them. He called them himself. He went to them personally and called them to himself. And this one was the true 12th apostle all along. This one he's going to call, chosen of God before the foundation of the world, is going to fill this office. Now we come to two verses where Peter doesn't give any scripture to support what his claim is. And I'll tell you why. I'm going to tell you why I'm so hesitant and why I've been so careful about this message. I don't want to lay a charge to one of God's elect. That's not true. I do not want to say something about one of God's elect, especially one of His preachers, one of His apostles, His pastors. That's not true. But up to this point, Peter's used Scripture. And he's held to Scripture, and everything he said has been true. Did Peter, when the Lord walked this earth, did Peter ever get ahead of himself? Did Peter ever do anything when he walked this earth to where the Lord had to rebuke him? He did, didn't he? Well, Peter, right here now, comes to a point where he don't use Scripture. Here's what he concludes from what he's read in Scripture. Here's what he concludes. Wherefore, of these men, right here with us, which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Now this I will give Peter. This is one thing I teetered on. Peter didn't say, he did not say, we must choose another apostle. That he didn't say. He said we need to choose one to be a witness with us. But by all practical purposes, what Peter said here is we need to fill this vacant office. Everything he said up to that point was true. But now when he gets to the point where he says, so we must choose one from among these men that have been with us this whole time, where did that come in? Where did he find that in Scripture? You see, do you see what I'm saying? At that point now we've left Scripture. Now we're going... Now we got to choose somebody. What did the Lord tell them? He said, you go to Jerusalem and wait. Wait. We find it hard to wait, don't we? We go to a, we come together and first thing we want to do is let's up and be doing something. And Peter, when they got to the tomb, Peter and John, when they got to the tomb and John stopped and he didn't even go in the tomb. And Peter just ran right on inside the tomb. And here again, Peter stands up. Now, let's don't be too hard on him. This is me and you, brethren. This is us right here. If we're not careful, we'll go ahead further than we need to go. Remember when they crossed the Jordan and the Lord said, you stay back. Don't move ahead. You stay back so you can see that ark. Keep your eye on that ark. And don't move ahead. If you see that ark move, you move. If you don't see the ark move, you don't move. The Lord said, go there and wait. Peter went there and they waited. And then Peter stood up. And I do not doubt at all that his motives were not absolutely for the glory of God. If we go to Jerusalem and there's 11 of us, they're going to say, see there? Who can trust any of these 11 seeing that one of them was a liar anyway? And I don't doubt that Peter, that's on his mind and he's thinking, we need to have somebody fill this office. But my question is, did he move ahead? Did he move too fast? Did he move ahead? I believe he did. What was the one thing that Peter seems to have forgotten? What did he and the other 10 all have in common? The apostles were called by Jesus Christ the Lord personally. And they were given gifts that other men weren't given. They were given gifts that other men were not given. Scripture gives us no account here of Christ calling Matthias personally. He doesn't do it. If one of these men were to be chosen to fill the vacancy left by the betrayer, why didn't the Lord choose him personally when he was with them 40 days after his resurrection? Did you hear me? Why didn't he choose him? It said, these men had been with us until the same day that he was taken up from us. There in Acts 1:2 it says, "Unto the day that the Lord was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." Yet Christ never personally called another apostle. He didn't call another one of them right there, of those men that were with him. Until he called Saul of Tarsus. And he called him personally. Paul's the only other apostle in Scripture by whom we find the Lord Jesus Christ personally calling him. And he's the only other apostle that went by the name of apostle that we see who had the gifts that the other apostles had. There's one place in Acts. I read the commentator said that. They said Timothy, Silvanus, and Barnabas were all considered apostles. Timothy and Silvanus are not called apostles anywhere in the Scripture. I looked it up, and I see what they're saying. They're looking at a couple of Paul's letters where he said, "I'm called to be an apostle." And he said, "And our brother Timothy." And they're taking that as saying he was calling Timothy an apostle too. He wasn't calling Timothy an apostle. There's one place in Acts where it says the apostles Barnabas and Paul. But I followed it. I read it all the way through. And everywhere they went together, whenever there was a miracle performed, where there was somebody healed or a devil was cast out or any of the miracles that the other apostles had, Paul did it. Barnabas never did it. He never did it. Paul's the only one. Look here in Acts 9:1. Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And they gave him these letters. And so as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." In 1 Corinthians 15:7, Paul said, after that he was seen of James, the Lord Jesus, then of all the apostles, and last of all, Paul says, he was seen of me also. Paul says, "I saw him as one born out of due time." And he said, "I'm the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. By his grace, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than all the other apostles, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." 14 letters we got here, written by Paul. Now I know there are some apostles that we don't have anything written by them. But brethren, we don't even have anything else in the Word of God ever said about Matthias. Nothing. I'm not saying he wasn't faithful. I'm not saying he didn't follow the Lord. I'm not saying he wasn't an elect, chosen, redeemed child of God and followed God. What I'm saying is Paul is the one whom Christ chose, and Paul is the one whom Christ called to be the apostle, the 12th apostle. There's 12, and Paul is the 12th one. But why would the Lord Jesus Christ allow Matthias to even be called if he were not the chosen apostle of Jesus Christ the Lord? There's no point in this even being an issue at all if we don't learn something from it. So why would the Lord allow this? Here's the first thing I see in this. God does not choose his people based on anything in us, but according to his grace and his mercy. Now let me give you an example. He said this in Isaiah 55:8. He said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He doesn't do things the way we would do things. Now, let me give you an example. Judas Iscariot. This is important now. Listen to what I'm saying here. This is the lesson I think we learn from this. Judas Iscariot appeared before the apostles and all other men to be faithful. There was nothing outwardly about his conduct whatsoever that would cause you to question him as being a true apostle of Jesus Christ. In fact, that night that they sat there and they were eating before the Passover came, and John asked who it would be, and the Lord said, it's going to be the one to whom I'm going to give a sop. And he leaned over and he gave a sop to Judas, and he said, that which thou doest, do quickly. And Judas left. And it says, all of the apostles, they didn't even, at that point, they had asked who it would be. And they didn't. He whispered that to John, because there's two Judases. And if he would have said it's Judas, it would have been just mayhem. He whispered it to John. Didn't even tell the others. But he gave this up, and he said to Judas Iscariot, that which thou doest, do quickly. And he got up, and he went out. And it says the other apostles, they considered him so faithful and so honest and so true that it says they thought that what the Lord meant was, is go. He's the treasurer. And they thought that he meant go buy the things we're going to need toward observing the Passover. They didn't even suspect him at all. Not at all. That night, they sit there saying, is it I? And Judas gets up and walks out, and they don't even expect it's him. But on the other hand, Saul of Tarsus appeared before men to be just the opposite. Look at Acts 9:13. After the Lord has knocked Saul off his horse and put him in the dust and revealed to him the depravity that he is, he comes to Ananias and he tells Ananias to go to this man, Saul of Tarsus. And listen to what Ananias answered. Then Ananias answered, Acts 9:13, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. You see the difference? They looked at Judas Iscariot. If it was up to me and you, we would have said, there's a faithful man. And if we'd looked at Saul, we'd have said, that man needs to go to hell. And God said, Judas Iscariot is a devil. And what does he say of Saul? Verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, to Ananias, go thy way, for this one you call a devil, he's a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I'll show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Do you see what I'm saying? What God does, he does because of sovereign, electing grace, not according to our works. He don't look on the outward appearance of things. He does things based on his mercy. Romans 9:11, the children are being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? What did he say to Moses? I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. Do you see the lesson there? Do you think there's ever been pastors that men have called by their own power that God didn't send? I believe there have been. I believe there's been many. The Lord said, I'll give you pastors after my heart. When he ascended, he said, I gave them apostles, and I gave them prophets, and I gave them pastor teachers and evangelists for the edifying of my body. I give them, he said. And he takes the base things of the world and things that are not, that he might bring to nothing things that are. He takes those that the world looks on and says, he don't have a PhD. He's nobody. He's a fisherman. This man, we saw him, all he could do for a living. He couldn't even, some of them weren't even fishing. They were just mending nets. At least Peter was one that went out and fished. Some of them just were net menders. They just fixed the nets. They didn't even have the money to afford to buy new nets. They had to fix their nets and just repair the old nets, patch them up, and go back out and fish with those nets. And yet that's who God chose. And as the scripture says, and the leaders and the princes and the rulers and the wise men of this world said, these men have turned the world upside down. That's who God uses. That's who Christ uses. Those that men don't look upon as anything. Why does he do that? Why did God say he does that? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Him that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Why does he do that? Of God are you in Christ, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Who chose his people? Who chose the first man to go preach the gospel? God did. You know who that first one was? The prophet, Christ Jesus the Lord. He chose Christ. That's his choice. You know, when he came to Jerusalem, he came into Jerusalem riding on that foal of an ass, that donkey. And he come riding in on that thing. There wasn't any form or comeliness about him that we desire him. Nothing. Nothing at all. But you know, I heard Brother Paul Mahan bring this out in a message this week. I was listening to it. Blessed my heart that... But they, not a soul that saw him riding in, they didn't look and go, whoo, boy, look at that horse he's riding on. Look at that mighty steed he's riding on. Because the steed he was riding on was a donkey. It wasn't anything. But they was crying, Hosanna to the highest. Save us, Lord Jesus. They were looking at him. And you know who that donkey's a picture of? He was tied up. Tied up. And the Lord said, you go to the such and such a place and you'll find him. Loose him. Never been ridden before. Loose him. He got on him and broke him. And rode him. That's a picture of the believer. He said, go to such and such a place and find a certain man and loose him. And I'll bring him into submission. And me and you, people don't come to this place right here looking at me and you. I want them to come to this place looking at our Redeemer and saying, look at him, not at us. Well, let's get back to this. Lesson number two. Why did they? I think those whom God has put in the church, believers, brethren, all of us together, right here, me, you, all of us. This shows us that at our best state, we're fallible. We just mess up. We're prone to error. We're prone to error. Peter left the scripture and he said, wherefore of these men, we got to choose somebody from these men right here. And here's what he said, verse 21. He said, wherefore of these two men which have company with us all the time, beginning from the baptism of John to that same day he was taken, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. One of these got to be ordained. And they picked two of them. Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed. and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. Let me tell you what. This is not by mistake. I had two messages prepared tonight. And you want me to tell you what made... This is the one I wanted to preach. But I thought, well, I better preach that other one and I'll study on this one next week. And on my way over here, I was praying, driving over here to myself. And I found myself asking the Lord, Lord, which of these two messages would you have me to preach? And I thought, there's the error. It's not, I've picked out two, now you tell me which one to preach. It's, Lord, I'm in your hands. Whatever you'd have me do, that's what I need to do. It's not, let me narrow this thing down and then you tell me what to do. You see, everybody that the Lord saves, everybody He's given a heart, we're going to see this as we go through Acts. These men that were approved, these men that were proven faithful, God did the work. And He manifested He had done the work. And then they were, it was made evident that these are the men that God has sent. That these are the men that God has given. Matthias made no mention of wanting to be an apostle. The other man made no mention of wanting to be an apostle. Peter stood up and said, let's pick two. And they picked two. This is 10 days' time. Y'all took 2 years waiting on the Lord to give you a pastor. 10 days. Hadn't even passed. And in one meeting, Peter stands up and says, now we got to pick somebody. And they picked two and they prayed and said, now which one of them? And picked one of them in one meeting. Is that wise? I think that shows us what we are by nature. We'll run ahead. We will rush headlong into error. And then the third thing, and I'm going to stop here. Christ our King overrules the errors of His people for His glory and the good of His saints. Matthias went to Jerusalem with them. He went there. And the gainsayers couldn't say anything concerning the fact that there was not 12. There was 12 when they went. So the gainsayers couldn't say a word. Whether this was God's will. God permitted this to happen. This served His will, His purpose. But Paul's His apostle. Matthias goes up there with them, though, and the gainsayers can't say anything about it. So even the error of it served His will. It served His purpose. They couldn't say anything about it. And it no way altered the Lord Jesus Christ's purpose and providence, for He called out His chosen vessel, Paul, at the time He appointed. Isn't that what Paul said in Galatians 1:15? He said, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia, returned again to Damascus, and then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and stayed with him 15 days. What other man in Scripture, besides the Old Testament prophets, what other man in the New Testament church did God ever call? What other men did God ever call, Christ ever call, outside of the preaching of His Word and His gospel? His apostles only. He called them personally. And Paul was one of them. And he did it at the appointed time. This error didn't stop it. It didn't interfere with His purpose and His will whatsoever. He accomplished His will at the appointed time. And I got some other things here, but I'm going to stop. I know it's late and it's 8:30. Look over with me at 1 Corinthians 15:3. I'll show you this one scripture. 1 Corinthians 15:3. Paul was questioned everywhere he went of his authority, of his being an apostle. And you'll see, out of all his letters, there's only two, maybe three, that he didn't start with called to be an apostle by the will of God in Jesus Christ, by God our Savior. And those ones that he didn't start it with was the church at Thessalonica and the church at Philippi, where they knew he was an apostle and they believed he was an apostle. But at the places where there was disputing and carrying on, Colossae, Corinthians, he that's how he announced himself. To Timothy, he gave him his authority. He told him he was an apostle. Right here, he's speaking to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15:3. And he says, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, and then of the 12. Now, hear what Gill says on this. Though there were then but 11 of them, Judas was gone when he was seen of them, having destroyed himself. At the first appearance of Christ to them, there were but 10 present. Thomas was absent. Yet because their original number was first chosen and called 12, they still went by the same name. And he gives an example. Gil gives an example. John 20:24 says, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Judas was gone already. They just went by that name, 12. And he says this, verse 6. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, and that's most of them say that's his half-brother, who he didn't even believe on him when he walked on this earth, till he saw him. Then of all the apostles, and it says at the Mount of Olives, when he, this is a note here, at the Mount of Olives, when he led them out of Jerusalem as far as Bethany and blessed them and was parted from them and ascended to heaven out of their sight. That's he was talking about all the apostles that were there present at that time. And then he says, and last of all, there was 11 there when he departed out of their sight. There was 11 apostles there. And then Paul says, and last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. I'm the least of the apostles. Who's the 12th apostle? I believe Paul's saying right there, he is. He's the one. So God said, wait. Peter stood up. Christ called his apostles personally, gifted them, used them for the glory of God and the good of the church. And we ought to never take the preeminence to do anything that Christ hadn't explicitly directed us to do. In his word. We got his word. We wait on him. We'll find other places where it says the Spirit of God revealed it to them. Showed it to them. Led them. Directed them. They were prohibited to go this place or that place. We have that. We have that. And we wait on him. Trust him. And we know what happened. Now the Catholics, we don't have any idea what happened to Matthias. The Catholics have churches named St. Matthias Church. And they got books supposedly written by St. Matthias. And a lot of other books supposedly written by other folks, too. Bunch of books. But this is the book right here. This is the book. There's histories that says that he went to Ethiopia and preached. I don't know. Maybe he did. I don't know. I think he accompanied him that whole time. Like Peter said, Peter gave a good account of him. I think he believed God. But I don't think he was the apostle. Paul was the apostle. I think Peter got ahead of himself. And it's not a like thing to say something about somebody. It's not clearly revealed in Scripture right here in that text. But I think the Scriptures I showed you, and I looked them over, and there's others I could give you to. We'd be here all night long, but there's a bunch of others too. And I just believe it's clearly revealed Paul's the apostle. Paul's the 12th apostle. And we don't look on the outward appearance of things, do we? Wait on Christ. Trust Him. And He'll give us direction. We don't get ahead of ourselves. He'll give us direction. So I hope you blessed by that, and I hope you will take it as humbly as I preached it to you. I prayed over it and asked the Lord to give me wisdom. I don't want to stand up here and say something to you that is not true, especially if it's against one of our brethren, Apostle Peter. I believe this is a case of Peter showing us right here that even after all that the Lord had done, this is what we are by nature. We just don't look to this flesh, brethren. I'm telling you. We just don't look to this flesh. You don't get a dirty mop to clean up a dirty floor. And if you look to this flesh to try to clean up this flesh, that's like getting a dirty mop to clean a dirty floor. Scripture says mortify it. That means treat it like it's dead. It's dead. Don't give in to it. It's dead. Treat it like that. Don't give in to it. So, all right, Brother Eric.